Chapter 132. Dear, dear, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Pickwick, who had been evidently aroused by his friend's appeal. What an annoyance that door is. Who is that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, me, sir, apostrophe, replied Sam Weller, putting in his head. I can't speak to you just now, Sam, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. I am engaged at this moment, Sam. Apostrophe, beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe, rejoined Mr. Weller. But here's a lady here, sir, as says she's something worry particular to disclose. Apostrophe, I can't see any lady, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick, whose mind was filled with visions of Mrs. Bartle. I wouldn't make too sure of that, sir, apostrophe, urged Mr. Weller, shaking his head. If you knowed who was near, sir, I rather think you'd change your note, as the hawk remarked to himself with a cheerful laugh, when he heard the robin redbreast a-singin' round the corner. Apostrophe, who is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Pickwick. Will you see her, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Weller, holding the door in his hand, as if he had some curious live animal on the other side. I suppose I must, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, looking at Perker. Well then, all in to begin. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Sam. Sound the gong, draw up the curtain, and enter the two conspirators. Apostrophe, as Sam Weller spoke, he threw the door open, and there rushed tumultuously into the room, Mr. Nathaniel Winkle, leading after him by the hand, the identical young lady who at Dingley Dell had worn the boots with the fur round the tops, and who, now a very pleasing compound of blushes and confusion, and lilac silk, and a smart bonnet, and a rich lace veil, looked prettier than ever. Miss Arabella Allen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Pickwick, rising from his chair. No, apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle, dropping on his knees. Apostrophe, Mrs. Winkle. Pardon, my dear friend, pardon. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick could scarcely believe the evidence of his senses, and perhaps would not have done so, but for the corroborative testimony afforded by the smiling countenance of Perker, and the bodily presence, in the background, of Sam and the pretty housemaid, who appeared to contemplate the proceedings with the liveliest satisfaction. Oh, Mr. Pickwick! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Arabella, in a low voice, as if alarmed at the silence. Can you forgive my imprudence? Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick returned no verbal response to this appeal, but he took off his spectacles in great haste, and seizing both the young lady's hands in his, kissed her a great number of times, perhaps a greater number than was absolutely necessary, and then, still retaining one of her hands, told Mr. Winkle he was an audacious young dog, and bade him get up. This, Mr. Winkle, who had been for some seconds scratching his nose with the brim of his hat, in a penitent manner, did, whereupon Mr. Pickwick slapped him on the back several times, and then shook hands heartily with Perker, who, not to be behindhand in the compliments of the occasion, saluted both the bride and the pretty housemaid with right goodwill, and, having wrung Mr. Winkle's hand most cordially, wound up his demonstrations of joy by taking snuff enough to set any half-dozen men with ordinarily constructed noses a-sneezing for life. Why, my dear girl, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, how has all this come about? Come, sit down, and let me hear it all. How well she looks, doesn't she, Perker? Apostrophe, apostrophe, added Mr. Pickwick, surveying Arabella's face with a look of as much pride and exultation as if she had been his daughter. Delightful, my dear sir, apostrophe, replied the little man. If I were not a married man myself, I should be disposed to envy you, you dog. Apostrophe, thus expressing himself, the little lawyer gave Mr. Winkle a poke in the chest, which that gentleman reciprocated, after which they both laughed very loudly, but not so loudly as Mr. Samuel Weller, who had just relieved his feelings by kissing the pretty housemaid under cover of the cupboard door. I can never be grateful enough to you, Sam, I am sure, apostrophe said Arabella, with the sweetest smile imaginable. I shall not forget your exertions in the garden at Clifton. Apostrophe, don't say nothing whatever about it, ma'am, apostrophe replied Sam. I only assisted Natter, ma'am, as the doctor said to the boy's mother, after he'd bled him to death. Apostrophe, Mary, my dear, sit down, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, cutting short these compliments. Now then, how long have you been married, eh? Apostrophe, Arabella looked bashfully at her lord and master, who replied, only 3 days. Apostrophe, only 3 days, eh? Apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Why, what have you been doing these 3 months? Apostrophe, to be sure. Apostrophe interposed Perker, come, account for this idleness. You see, Mr. Pickwick's only astonishment is, that it wasn't all over, months ago. Apostrophe, why the fact is, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle, looking at his blushing young wife, that I could not persuade Bella to run away, for a long time. And when I had persuaded her, it was a long time more, before we could find an opportunity. Mary had to give a month's warning to, before she could leave her place next door, and we couldn't possibly have done it without her assistance. Apostrophe upon my word, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Pickwick, who by this time had resumed his spectacles, and was looking from Arabella to Winkle, and from Winkle to Arabella, with as much delight depicted in his countenance as warm-heartedness, and kindly feeling can communicate to the human face upon my word, you seem to have been very systematic in your proceedings. And is your brother acquainted with all this, my dear? Apostrophe, oh, no, apostrophe replied Arabella, changing color. Dear Mr. Pickwick, he must only know it from your lips alone. He is so violent, so prejudiced, and has been so anxious in behalf of his friend, Mr. Sawyer, apostrophe added Arabella, looking down, that I fear the consequences dreadfully. Apostrophe, to be sure, apostrophe said Perker gravely. You must take this matter in hand for them, my dear sir. These young men will respect you, when they would listen to nobody else. You must prevent mischief, my dear sir. Hot blood. Apostrophe and the little man took a warning pinch, and shook his head doubtfully. You forget, my love, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick gently, you forget, that I am a prisoner. Apostrophe, no, indeed I do not, my dear sir, apostrophe replied Arabella. I never have forgotten it. I have never ceased to think how great your sufferings must have been in this shocking place. But I hope that, what no consideration for yourself would induce you to do, a regard to our happiness might. If my brother hears of this, first, from you, I feel certain we shall be reconciled. He is my only relation in the world, Mr. Pickwick, and unless you plead for me, I fear I have lost even him. I have done wrong, very, very wrong, I know. Here poor Arabella hid her face in her handkerchief, and wept bitterly. Mr. Pickwick's nature was a good deal worked upon, by these same tears, but when Mrs. Winkle, drying her eyes, took to coaxing and entreating in the sweetest tones of a very sweet voice, he became particularly restless, and evidently undecided how to act, as was evinced by sundry nervous rubbings of his spectacle glasses, nose, tights, head, and gaiters. Taking advantage of these symptoms of indecision, Mr. Perker, to whom, it appeared, the young couple had driven straight that morning, urged with legal point and shrewdness that Mr. Winkle, Sr., was still unacquainted with the important rise in life's flight of steps which his son had taken, that the future expectations of the said son depended entirely upon the said Winkle, Sr., continuing to regard him with undiminished feelings of affection and attachment, which it was very unlikely he would, if this great event were long kept a secret from him, that Mr. Pickwick, repairing to Bristol to seek Mr. Allen, might, with equal reason, repair to Birmingham to seek Mr. Winkle, Sr., Lastly, that Mr. Winkle, Sr., had good right and title to consider Mr. Pickwick as in some degree the guardian and advisor of his son, and that it consequently behoved that gentleman, and was indeed due to his personal character, to acquaint the aforesaid Winkle, Sr., personally, and by word of mouth, with the whole circumstances of the case, and with the share he had taken in the transaction. Mr. Tupman and Mr. Snodgrass arrived, most opportunely, in this stage of the pleadings, and as it was necessary to explain to them all that had occurred, together with the various reasons pro and con, the whole of the arguments were gone over again, after which everybody urged every argument in his own way, and at his own length. And, at last, Mr. Pickwick fairly argued and remonstrated out of all his resolutions, and being in imminent danger of being argued and remonstrated out of his wits, caught Arabella in his arms, and declaring that she was a very amiable creature, and that he didn't know how it was, but he had always been very fond of her from the first, said he could never find it in his heart to stand in the way of young people's happiness, and they might do with him as they pleased. Mr. Weller's first act, on hearing this concession, was to dispatch Job Trotter to the illustrious Mr. Pell, with an authority to deliver to the bearer the formal discharge which his prudent parent had had the foresight to leave in the hands of that learned gentleman, in case it should be, at any time, required on an emergency. His next proceeding was to invest his whole stock of ready money in the purchase of 25 gallons of mild porter, which he himself dispensed on the racket ground to everybody who would partake of it. This done, he hurried in divers parts of the building until he lost his voice, and then quietly relapsed into his usual collected and philosophical condition. At 3 o'clock that afternoon, Mr. Pickwick took a last look at his little room, and made his way, as well as he could, through the throng of debtors who pressed eagerly forward, to shake him by the hand, until he reached the lodge steps. He turned here, to look about him, and his eye lightened as he did so. In all the crowd of wan, emaciated faces, he saw not one which was not happier for his sympathy and charity. Perker, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, beckoning one young man towards him, this is Mr. Jingle, whom I spoke to you about. Apostrophe, very good, my dear sir, apostrophe replied Perker, looking hard at Jingle. You will see me again, young man, tomorrow. I hope you may live to remember and feel deeply what I shall have to communicate, sir. Apostrophe, Jingle bowed respectfully, trembled very much as he took Mr. Pickwick's proffered hand, and withdrew. Job you know, I think? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, presenting that gentleman. I know the rascal, apostrophe replied Perker good-humoredly. See after your friend, and be in the way tomorrow at one. Do you hear? Now, is there anything more? Apostrophe apostrophe, nothing, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Pickwick. You have delivered the little parcel I gave you for your old landlord, Sam? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have, sir, apostrophe replied Sam. He bust out a crying, sir, and said you was very generous and thoughtful, and he only wished you could have him inoculated for a galloping consumption, for his old friend as had lived here so long was dead, and he'd now yours to look for another. Apostrophe poor fellow, poor fellow. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. God bless you, my friends. Apostrophe apostrophe, as Mr. Pickwick uttered this adieu, the crowd raised a loud shout. Many among them were pressing forward to shake him by the hand again, when he drew his arm through Perker's, and hurried from the prison, far more sad and melancholy, for the moment, than when he had first entered it. Alas! How many sad and unhappy beings had he left behind! A happy evening was that for at least one party in the George and Vulture, and light and cheerful were two of the hearts that emerged from its hospitable door next morning. The owners thereof were Mr. Pickwick and Sam Weller, the former of whom was speedily deposited inside a comfortable post coach, with a little dickey behind, in which the latter mounted with great agility. "Sir," apostrophe called out Mr. Weller to his master. "Well, Sam," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, thrusting his head out of the window. "I wish them horses had been 3 months and better in the fleet, sir." Apostrophe, "Why, Sam?" Apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. "Why, sir," apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Weller, rubbing his hands, "how they would go, if they had been." Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.